Hello and welcome to the 106th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football once again. Harry, we are a short 3 weeks away from opening day.
It's hard to believe. I mean, it'll be here before you know it. We've got the big cookout coming up Saturday night. People are excited about that.
Both of us are going to be there for that.
We're going to go there as a couple, actually, so that'll be fun.
Do not know what you're talking about.
Without family.
So. That's right. Yes, we will be without the families, so hopefully we'll meet a lot of people there and talk to a lot of them. You know, a lot of people are wondering about season ticket sales. A lot of people are wondering about Midnight Madness this year. A lot of people are wondering about different things that are going to happen. We're going to have RV on with us later.
That's always exciting, you know, when you can get the AD to jump on and give you kind of the updates and answer some questions. It's always a popular segment here on the pod.
Exactly. A lot has been said about, Lance Dunbar being part of the Cowboys. He is on the team. He's injured a little bit, but, you know, I do want to start out talking about Jamize Olawale. Now,
Jamize.
Okay. Let me just tell you that reading this on the podcast once right now is more than we ever mentioned him as a player for North Texas. You know, is this a situation where the old regime couldn't identify talent? I mean, how can a guy be thought of by the Cowboys? And I don't even remember him playing, to be honest.
He played a little bit primarily on special teams, but, you know, we ought to have to make an oath here that we're not going to kick the old dead Dodge horse too often because it's so easy to do. But it's another example, I think, of a guy that, for whatever reason, has NFL caliber talent, but we did not identify that for him when he was at North Texas. Maybe he was out of position. I know the thought was when they signed him, he was kind of a tweener, a little bit small for a tight end, but a little bit, you know, big to be a receiver. But yeah, you're scratching your head going, man, I wish we could have had this guy playing more when he was on the team.
Yeah, I mean, he led the Cowboys in rushing. Now, obviously, first game, you know, it's preseason, so you know anything can happen. But it is amazing that we just didn't hear more of him. As soon as my wife actually brought it to me, you know, hey, they were talking about him. I'm like, yeah, I don't remember him very much.
Well, and how ironic that, you know, this guy may well have it with Lance's injury. This guy may have a better chance of making the Cowboys, which, by the way, they had some of his NFL tryout video on GoMeanGreen.com, and I mean, he's a beast. I mean, this guy can run.
Well, they were talking about him for his size and everything. So
he's a real good athlete.
Yeah, I pulled out the media guy just to see what the situation was, you know, as far as his history and everything. I don't think he blocked any kicks for us.
No.
And he didn't do that for the Cowboys either the other day. Matter of fact, that was a big whoops.
Yeah,
but
that was a mistake.
But it is still good to see him on the team. And, you know, people are putting on here that was he injured last year? Somebody asked that question. I don't remember if he was injured or not because I don't really remember much of him about him at all.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, somebody else asked is how Lamar Dunbar, that's Lance Dunbar, but thanks for asking. Quick typing. I guess Lance has got an injury, but, you know, I don't know the word is if we're going to see him this Saturday in preseason or not.
It sounds to me like he is going to play. That's what the last I heard. Let's hope he does because, you know, when you're a free agent, you only have so many opportunities to make your case. But there have been some injuries and some things, some opportunities. So let's hope that Lance can get out there on the field and show what he can do.
All right, let's talk about a few other things. We've got our first game against LSU, and now it looks like they lost the Honey Badgers, so we have a shot.
That would be a no. Unfortunately, the Honey Badgers.
You go with those negative waves, man.
It's not negative. It's realism. I mean, the fact of the matter is that guy was a great player. That's a big loss for them. Sure, it certainly doesn't hurt us, but take some time. Go through their roster. I mean, one of the players' parents on the board made a great post. It seems like everyone they have is a five-star rivals, you know, guy and with amazing speed. I mean, every single position on that team, those guys can fly to the ball. It's going to be a huge challenge with or without Honey Badger. But sure, it doesn't hurt you in terms of having a guy that was, you know, Heisman Trophy potential candidate not be on their team. But don't let that fool you into thinking that they're any less of what they are. They are the national championship caliber, you know, LSU Tigers. And
Yeah, and it's going to be a tough game. Now, here's one of the things you and I discussed earlier and we've been talking about with this team is who are our names? Who is our who are our Scott Halls? Who are our Lance Dunbars?
Patrick
Cobbs.
Who
are our Patrick Cobbs? Who are, you know, McGee? And I mean, all these names we knew every year, we're like, all right, I want to see him do it this year. Who are our names this year?
That's the problem with where this program is right now. Because Dodge was given the additional years, you know, he sold out to and signed a lot of JUCO players. Well, guess what? A lot of those JUCO players graduated last year, and so now you're trying to rebuild with high school players under Mac, and you don't have a whole lot of names that are you know really familiar names. I think, you know, honestly, the place I look to with the most familiar names right now are probably going to be on the offensive line. Sarge, the defensive end, McCoy is another name that we hear a lot. He seems to be getting a lot of good pub. But that's a guy that was a walk-on last year. So, you know.
Delgado, Breland Chancellor. NTL3.
Delgado was a walk-on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're looking at him as one of the top receivers. Breland Chancellor, hope he can stay healthy. I don't want to jinx him, but Marcus Trice
is the Oklahoma transfer at safety. He's getting a ton of good pub right now. And he's going to be an impact player, I'm convinced.
We're going to need Delgado to have a year like he did last year, expecting Chancellor has got to have the year that he did last year. But they know him. He's not an out-of-the-blue guy like he showed up last year.
Well, and the truth of it is, you know, Chancellor made his name as a kickoff, you know, punt returner type guy. Last year he made the transition to being a starting receiver. You know, he's one of those guys that we really need to get big plays out of. He's probably one of the, if not the biggest play guy on the offense. He's right up there. And you need a good season out of Chancellor, a healthy season for sure.
Yeah, he's an exciting player to watch. NTO3 just mentioned that. He is a very exciting player to watch. The things that, you know, the returns, when he gets the ball, you want to see what he can do. Thompson, Jimerson, Chancellor, McCoy, Trice, BSTN mentioned those. Those are the players you talk about, Sarge at the end. We got to have the guy step up. By week three or four, we need to say, man, this guy's having a great year because Stojkovic, he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, we've got some players we are expecting to see this year, just not.
Well, the one name that keeps coming up and the most important name of all is Derek Thompson at quarterback. And it sounds like Derek Thompson from the words that Mac – I mean, last year when you asked Mac about Thompson – you know, he's done some nice things, so on and so forth. Now you're getting quotes like, hey, man, I'm impressed with what Derek Thompson is doing. He has really got a hold of this offense. There's no question about who the number one guy is. He has last season under his belt. You know, a big year out of Derek Thompson and a healthy year out of Derek Thompson is going to be critical for this program. The guy has not been able to stay healthy an entire year. And if we could get that out of him this year, it could mean the difference between going – with 5 wins and getting 7 or maybe even 8 wins.
I think of that as a lot of schools would think, well, this guy's going to be our quarterback all year. We have been so snake bit by injuries in the quarterback position that it's every year it's like, well, this guy, can he stay healthy? Because nobody's been able to stay healthy.
Well,
now, Thompson did stay healthy the first year he played.
Well, for the two plays that he got to play against Arkansas State. But, again, that Dodge horse, let's try to leave that alone.
Right. No, let's leave it alone. Okay, let's talk about the first 3 games because that's, you know, we are within a month we'll have 3 games. We start at LSU, Baton Rouge, on ESPNU. There's several watching parties. A lot of people are watching.
Rudy's and Allen is one for sure. There is a possibility that we're going to see a lot – not a possibility. There will be more watching games as we get closer to that.
Watching parties, Texas Southern first game Saturday, September 8th. When was the last time we played a 1AA team? Was it Abilene Christian maybe?
Well.
Here?
Illinois State is one that comes to mind for me, and there was another one. Samford was another program.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about the Samford
And if
game.
You remember, that Samford game was a lot closer than we wanted it to be.
Yeah, but that was a bad time.
I kind of agree. I don't want to take away from RV's Thunder because I know what his opinion is on this, but I know that he has told me if you're going to play a 1AA type game, it sure as heck better be one that you're going to win.
And, you know, this one, and this is the one, it is the first game. It's 6 p.m. in the evening on a Saturday. You know, it's the second week of the season. It's at home. First game, opening season. You always have a good crowd for opening for the first home game. So, you know, it is what it is, and we'll make the best out of it. The third game is against Kansas State in Manhattan, Kansas. So right off the bat of your first three games, you got two pretty tough games.
Pretty tough?
Yeah.
Really tough.
Really tough games. And we, you know, and whenever you see the AD putting out press releases that say, for the 10th time in 10 years, we're playing a top 10 ranked team, yeah, you know, during the season. And it's just one of those things. So by the third week, you know, we hope it to be 1-2. Right. I mean, we hope to have a one win.
It should
win
be
at least,
1-2.
Yes. But then you start coming into Troy, Florida Atlantic, and then that Houston game, which a lot of fans are going to be heading down to Houston on Tuesday. It is a huge game. And that's one of those kind of it's a road trip simulator for the Conference USA games.
Yes, it is.
You know,
yes,
we're going to ask RV about when we're going to know that schedule. Who are we going to play at home? And, you know, where our first road trip's going to be? And, you know, I don't know when they're putting all that together, but you got to think they're trying to work it out now. But those are the things that those are the first few weeks of games. Troy is family weekend, so we got those two home games, Texas Southern and Troy, in Denton in the month of September.
That Troy game, we talked about it on the board a little bit, and some folks agreed with me, but that Troy game is a huge game on that schedule. If you look at the schedule leading up to that, you win that Troy game at home in front of a home crowd, you get the students back, you tell the conference that, hey, we're in this, you know what I mean, right out of the gate. You lose that Troy game, and, boy, you lose a lot of enthusiasm, and the Sun Belt season could be a very long one. So that's a huge game to look at early in the season.
Looks like the band is not going to LSU. Somebody asked that. There are two events coming up from the Denton Alumni Association. First, Denton, North Texas Alumni Association. The UNT-LSU watching party at the Fox and Hound in Louisville at 5:30. Second, Oktoberfest, the Alumni Pavilion on September 15, 4 p.m., and then stick around and watch UNT play K-State. And there's also the Collin County one, and that's the one that is always at Rudy's.
Yeah.
They're going to have the viewing party
there.
So.
Todd always puts that together.
Yeah, Todd puts that together.
And that Oktoberfest is a big alumni event. There's been a lot of stuff. Cram has put that on the board. So I know you can pre-buy tickets to that, and it's like a beer tasting thing, and you can watch the game. I mean, it sounds like an awesome event. So that's definitely something to consider as well.
All right, so what else do you want to talk about, Harry? One of the things we're going to talk to Rick about. So, guys, start loading up your questions, and we'll go ahead and write some of them down. I know some people have already put some on there, but you know, a lot of people want to know about Midnight Madness.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to do it, we got to do it. This is the year to do it because this is going to be the best year, you know, as far as expectations that we've had since Blakely back in the, you know, the early days. So this is a big year for us.
I think this is the best team on paper we've ever had. I know people can argue that point, and that's debatable, but you look at it, how many chances are we going to have Tony Mitchell, a potential All-American caliber, you know, NBA lottery pick? I mean, that just doesn't happen in North Texas that often. It's very, very exciting on the basketball front. I'm sure RV is going to be able to address, you know, some of those. I know he's excited about it too.
And we will also try to speak a few minutes to the beat writer for the University of North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle.
Brett Vito.
We'll have Brett and his words of wisdom on here discussing what he's seen through the bars.
He manages even without having access to get some pretty good tidbits.
You know, and he does. And he's definitely got his ear to the ground. And one of the things is you know, even though the practices are closed, having the entire surrounding layout around that practice field, all you have to do is just sit up there and you're looking down onto the practice field. So, you know, the Daryl Dickey practice field.
Well, I think that you had to get that in, didn't you? I think they run people off. They've been known to run a few people off. You can take your chances, but the reality of it is what it is. You know, it's not up for debate. You know, they've got closed practices and that's what they want to do, and we're going to have to respect that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hot. All right, yeah. So let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and pause the podcast for those of you listening on iTunes. For those of you listening through Ustream, let's hope a ad pops up while we're getting RV on the phone. A couple of things, guys. We are lucky to have the athletic director with us, so let's try to keep the questions and the activity in the internet, because I'm sure some of the spies from the athletic department will be listening in and taking notes.
He's known to go into the chat room too, so don't be shocked to see him in there.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, I think he's UNT Storm Chaser. I think that's his. I think he's coming in and acting.
His alias.
That's right. He's been building up a character. So, okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and pause this, and we will be back shortly with RV and Brett Vito. All right, once again, we are lucky to have the athletic director for the University of North Texas with us, Rick Villarreal. Rick, thanks for joining us.
Oh, always a pleasure, guys, and good to hear from you.
Rick, last year was a heck of a year, both football and basketball, new stadium, everything's been going on. How is this offseason compared to the offseason last year before the stadium opened?
I thought the spring would be a little easier, but, when we lost Kieran to Texas and then Johnny to LSU, and the whole thing kind of turned around, and, trying to hire two coaches, two basketball coaches at the same time is a little hectic, and, I was just glad that we kind of stay prepared for those things. You don't ever like to see them happen, but you have a list, and you kind of know the direction you want to move, and we were fortunate that we were able to do that quickly, and then the Conference USA movement came at the same time. We actually were working on that for about 4 or 5 months, but the fruition of it happened about the same time. So this spring was really hectic, trying to get people settled in, trying to get ready to finish our final season in the Sun Belt and transition into Conference USA.
Rick,
to say the least, it's kept us busy.
Yeah, well, and when the press conference and Conference USA, and everybody's really excited about that, and obviously, we're less than a year away from, or right at a year away from getting that all kicked off. Let me ask you, when you do something like that, how much time do you spend trying to figure out, okay, scheduling for events and football and trying to get the schedule changed around? And we had Tulsa on the off conference, and now they're going to be a conference. How does that all come together?
Well, as soon as you know it's kind of happening, you start to put feelers out there. You start to make some plans. As soon as we kind of had a pretty good feel that the Conference USA deal was going to go through, we started looking for opponents to take Tulsa's place, and I think we're going to get a deal struck here pretty quick to bring somebody in on an open weekend. And, the rest of it, you just kind of, look at their schedules. Of course, they'll go to a new, we'll go to a new size. They've been 12 teams to this point. Going to 14 teams, that'll change some of their scheduling, not so much in football the first year because it'll only be 12 the first year. But in the rest of sports, there'll be 14. So, we tried to pull some schedules from this coming year for Conference USA and some last year to see kind of how they played. Did they use travel partners? Did they, play everybody? Did they do round robin? So we could get a feel about, how we would approach it. But we have a meeting this weekend, actually on Friday. It will be our first AD meeting of new Conference USA structure. And I think we'll get a lot of information that'll help us move forward this weekend.
Rick, a lot of people know in your background, not only was there, sports administration, leading up to your AD position, but you were also coach. Give us a feel for what you're seeing, from the AD's chair in terms of where Dan McCarney is putting this football program. The media is not covering the practices, so we're kind of going off the information that we've got. Kind of give us, RV's view of where the football program is right now.
Well, I would tell you that, I think the championship teams have a certain culture. I mean, it's built, and it means that you take care of your business in every area. And, I would tell you, while some people might not think it's important, what these kids did in the classroom this spring and then this summer was 180 degrees from what was happening in the previous 3 or 4 years, and that's one part of the process. They're bigger, they're stronger, the execution at practice is just so much different because people know what the expectations are. The speed running around, it's a different look. Unfortunately, going into this season, there's a few key areas where we're going to have to throw some young people in there, and they're going to have to produce for us. We're not quite sure with some movement in at different positions exactly how good we might be. I think we could be much better than we were a year ago. I'm not sure that that, you know, counts in victories, depending on how things, you know, go. But I do think that this football team is much better prepared. You know, our quarterbacks look as good as they've looked. Derek Thompson's worked his tail off this summer. Outstanding. You know, we got a three-headed running attack, and all three of those guys can tote the football and do it well as far and catch the ball well. Interior line, you know, could be a strength. A lot of competition to have 15 linemen out there. You know, instead, eight is a pretty good situation to have. Two young wide receivers coming in playing well. So offensively, I think we're going to be pretty good. And defensively, we've been pretty salty in the first part of practices. You know, we got some young guys running around the secondary back there, and they make mistakes. They're going to. But I will tell you, they do it at a different speed than it was last year, and that makes up for a lot of mistakes.
Okay, Rick, we've got a lot of chatters in the chat room with some asking questions. I'm going to go ahead and take one of those right now.
Go ahead.
There have been a lot of rumors about alcohol sales at Apogee. Is there any truth to that rumor? Is there any possibility of that? I know it's not a big deal.
I don't think you'll see it in this season. I would tell you that you know, as we move forward, we want to look at all the possibilities and you know, nothing will really change from last season and how things were run, but you know, I think we can look for changes in the future.
Let's talk a little bit about the schedule this year. There have been some grunts and groans about, you know, the fact, you know, there's five home games and, you know, Texas Southern and stuff like that. Can you address that a little bit? I know you and I have talked about it offline, but in terms of the fans, kind of talk about this year's football schedule.
Yeah, you know, if I was them, I'd grump a little too. You know, and I mean, I'm the first to say that. When we started the process of trying to bring in teams like Houston, Kansas State, over the years, we were not a team where you could play home and home, just one game. That wasn't part of what was going to be happening. And so you kind of had to do some things in order to get a Kansas State to be at our place, which we had 2 years ago, you know. But this year was kind of a perfect storm where we had to return that Kansas State game. We had the LSU game from a long-term contract. And we had to go back and play Houston, who came to our place last year. So, you know, if you go back and look the last 3, 4, 5 years, I feel good about where we've been from a scheduling standpoint. And this just happens not to be a great year, you know. So if people are a little upset, I understand it. You know, Texas Southern's right down the road. You know, got a great band. You know, several other teams around the country are playing teams like this. You know, not that that's the reason you do it, but they were an opponent that was available to fill a hole. And then, you know, of course, we had the other three games we had to return, which ends up making up our schedule. A year from now, you know, I think people will be much happier. Excuse me, we'll go back to six home games. You know, right now we're working on filling Tulsa, who would have come in next year as part of our game schedule at home before we were in the conference. So we're filling that spot. But I hope we're getting to the end of the negotiations right now to bring in somebody on 8/31. Of course, we got Ball State coming in next year. We go to Ohio, and then we have Georgia. And then, you know, next year's schedule, I would say you're going to see, you know, two of the four teams on this side, whether it's UTEP, Louisiana Tech, Rice, Tulsa, UT San Antonio. You'll see some teams from the other side. So I think, you know, next year we'll go into a schedule that'll look very much like we want it to, and that will continue to get better. So, you know, I wouldn't say that we made a mistake. I would say that in trying to schedule games to accommodate some of the games we wanted early on, whether it was Army, Navy, all the other teams, and putting those schedules together, you know, every once in a while you hit a bump like this, and I can understand where people are coming from, and all I can ask them to look at is, you know, it's North Texas football. I mean, it's still the Mean Green. They're lined up and playing five home games, and you know, continuing to get better. And regardless of who we put in front of them, you know, we need for our fans to come out and be a part of it. But, you know, look for us to do better. We have long-term games scheduled with SMU starting in 2 years. We got, you know, another good series starting with Army. And we're continuing to work on some additional regional teams to get some home and homes so that we always have six games and we always have what people can consider to be a good schedule.
Rick, you know, we're looking at the schedule for next year, obviously, with the Conference USA games. My wife was asking, so I know you can't commit on this, but should she plan on dressing to be on the Riverwalk, Bourbon Street, or somewhere safe in Houston? For the road trip games.
That's hard to say. You know, I know this again, this Friday, we will meet as a group. I think we'll start to look at some preliminary schedules. I think there's going to be discussions. The format of this new conference and how it will be played, because eventually there will be, you know, 14 teams. And with 14 teams, that schedule will be a little different. You know, my thought that would be that once we got to 14 teams that were actually playing football, you'd play the six in your side, three of those at home, three away, and then you'd play two rotating games on the other side. So you'd play, you know, you'd play two teams in the first 2 years, two teams in the second 2 years, and then the other two teams in the third 2 years. So it's hard to tell at this point. The good part is that whether it's the Riverwalk, it's whether it's you know, the Riverwalk, or it's Houston, you know, downtown Tulsa, all of those you can get in your car and get there pretty quick.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Rick, we know we've got the Tuesday night game this year against Louisiana Lafayette. That was a great game, you know, that we came up short on last year. Talk about that game a little bit. I know that it's a great opportunity in that we'll be on a national stage, but can you talk about kind of the thought process behind that game, and then also, you know, what we're doing behind the scenes to try to get the word out about it so we can have a really nice home crowd for the television audience to see?
Well, first and foremost, the decision to move the game to Tuesday was not ours. You know, we've kind of avoided Tuesday night games in the 6 years that's actually been a part of what we do in the Sun Belt Conference. You know, I'm not a huge believer that Tuesday night games are the best situation to put yourselves in. But that being said, that's what the conference has scheduled for us, and that's what we will work with. You know, so yes, we're working right now. We will meet as a cabinet on Monday as part of that scheduled meeting on Monday. I'm going to talk with the president in the cabinet about, you know, cutting classes. Or not cutting classes, but stopping classes early in the day so we can clear parking lots so the students can get out of the tailgate. You know, we would, you know, we'll open our parking lots, get them in cleared, so that our people hopefully will, you know, maybe get off work a little early and come out and tailgate and be a part of that. But, you know, it's a critical game. I think Louisiana Lafayette has been the loudest in the newspaper and on radio about they don't believe that North Texas ought to be in Conference USA. It ought to be them. You know, so they're going to come over here with a chip on their shoulder. They're going to come on over here to prove some comments they've made in the newspaper. And they're going to bring their full band, and they're going to come, you know, ready to play. What's going to be important for us to a national television audience is to not look like a lot of these games that are played on Tuesday night where there are 3,000 or 4,000 people there. You know, so we're going to get our students out. We're going to run some things on a new platform that we just soft launched today with some specials where people can get tickets or get prizes for coming to games. We're going to work with local school systems. You know, we're working with local city council. We're working with the Chamber of Commerce. You know, we're going to use every avenue we can to put people in the stands. Ask people to, you know, bring their friends and work some kind of ticket situation where our fans can go and, you know, if they buy a ticket or buy two tickets, then they can, you know, get a ticket or get two tickets to bring additional people. But, you know, it's a chance for us to make a statement. It's a chance for us to, for the first time on real national TV, you know, to show them a beautiful stadium, but show them that on a Tuesday night the Mean Green Nation will still show up. That Conference USA, this team that's going to Conference USA is not some flying by night program, but one that can put people in there that will support their football team.
Now,
at the end of the day, depending on how things fall, I think that can be a very instrumental game in what happens at the end of the season. And, so it's going to be important that we got a great crowd there to support our kids.
Rick, last year everybody talked about how great the game day experience was. This year, I know everybody's looking forward to. I know Harry talked about parking at Fouts just so he could walk across the new bridge there. Can you discuss a little bit about the pedestrian bridge and some of the other stuff that's going to be happening? And everybody's looking forward to hearing the cannon boomer at that go off that first game, because it always scares the hell out of the opposing visitor stands.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the game day.
The new bridge is going to be great for us. It is a project we've worked closely with, but it is not an athletic project. It actually is a TxDOT project, an accounting project. I'm under the understanding at this point that it's not going to be ready for the first game, but it will be ready for the Tuesday night game. And, it'll create great access from Fouts Field back and forth, make it easier for people to get equipment across, whether, they bring a wagon or something, whether they want to, or something they want to load up their tents on, that kind of deal, and pull them across. It'll be a real easy transition over to that side. We know it's going to be beautiful by the time it's done and painted. We kind of wished it had been done for the first game, but I think everybody is moving as quickly as they can with the requirements that there are, and like I said, hopefully that will be ready for right around the 1st of October.
We can't let you go, Rick, without talking a little bit about basketball. I mean, we've got a lot of diehard football fans that are all of a sudden getting really excited about this basketball season. Can you talk a little bit about Tony Benford and what they're doing on the basketball side of the fence?
Well, when Johnny came in and told me he was leaving, and Kieran did the same within a week, it was to say the least, it was a little deflating at first, because in Kieran you had somebody you knew that did really special things in a short period of time to turn the program around. Johnny kind of took a culture that I'm not going to say people didn't care about basketball, but by the wins and attendance, it was obvious that we didn't, and turned it into a respectable program. So as we set out, it was really a challenge. But I would tell you, sitting here today, after watching Tony Benford work, after watching Mike Peterson work, watching their approach to kids, their approach to practice, their approach to academics, their approach to preparation, their approach to sacrifice. I hadn't seen blood on the floor in a workout in a long time. But that's going to happen. They are two excellent, outstanding coaches who work 20 hours a day. They're always prepared. They're always in a position to help make things better, but also there to make sure that that kids are doing things the way they have to be done, not the way they've been done in the past, not the way they feel they ought to be done, but the way they have to be done. Tony's worked real hard along with Bart Lundy, it's paid off a little bit. You look at our opening schedule; we're going to play at St. Joe's, tough place to play, but great basketball tradition. And they'll fly to Kansas State and play in the NIT preseason tournament. And so we're going to test our team earlier. Tony's job and mission, as we talked about when we hired him, he's going to upgrade the schedule coming into the pit. You might not see that in the first year because a lot of his schedule was in place when he got it. But, part of his deal is to bring teams into this arena that people will get excited about, playing. And so, some of these people, he's going to go play on the road. He'll see back at this place playing at some point in time. He's done an excellent job in early recruiting. Of course, we can't really talk about names, but, you know, with one young man that's already on campus and then three others that have made commitments that I think he will sign early in November, it's obvious his ability to attract the very highest level player and bring kids here that can play consistently against the best in the country. So, you know, if you're not excited about basketball, then I think you just don't know enough about it yet.
Rick, a lot of people asking and excited about the prospect of a basketball training facility. And, you know, and we know that from our discussion with you last that was something in the works. How are we looking there?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you for a second.
A lot of people have asked about the basketball training facility. I know that's something you had touched on our last podcast. How are we looking on that?
Yeah, I would tell you that, you know, we, as part of the capital campaign, we set out three goals in our capital campaign from athletics as part of the overall campaign. One was a golf practice facility. One is a baseball stadium and bringing on a baseball program. The third was a basketball practice facility. And, you know, we had separate chairmen for each one. And I would tell you that with the unbelievable help of Ernie Keeney as our chairman, we've worked very closely together, worked really hard. And, you know, that facility will be a reality very, very soon, much, 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 much earlier than we expected. Will be a first-class facility, you know, everything new, and just going to be a great venue for us. And, you know, it's my hope. I don't know exactly the construction system we'll have to go through, but if we can do it the way that we'd like to, I could see this facility easily being open by December.
Wow.
That would be
that's exciting.
That would be very exciting. What about the anything you can tell us about the upgrades to the Super Pit?
I'm sorry, the upgrade.
Upgrades to the Super Pit. Is there anything you can tell us about any changes going on there?
Well, you know, I mean, it's going to be a process. We have had some engineers looking. You know, we know that the scoreboards in the Super Pit need to be replaced. We don't quibble about that at all. We have, you know, it's part of our problem has been the fast growth that we've had. You know, if you just had to do one or two of these things every 3 or 4 years, it wouldn't be quite as hard. You know, but when you're going from building 8 facilities and then a football stadium and then, you know, a basketball practice facility and this other facility, and you're trying to do signage too, there are two problems. One is that you only have a certain number of people that are available to work on these things, and two, you only have a certain amount of income because all that money's got to be raised privately. But I would tell you that this campaign with the basketball arena will help speed that process up. We have engineers right now that are looking at the roof of the Super Pit to tell us whether or not we could hang a center hung sign scoreboard in there with the support system we currently have, or some minor modifications. We hope that's the report that comes back. Even if it does, you know, ordering that signage is a 6 to 8 month project. You know, it has to be ordered, fit, built, checked, to go back in, and it's a long term process. You don't order those scoreboards and they come in 3 or 4 weeks.
You mean you can't just go to like Best Buy and pick one of those up, Rick?
Some LED tables in place on the sidelines. And then follow through with the rest of the signage. And right now, we can't really, you know, say what that's going to be exactly, because depending on what comes back from the engineers and they tell us what we can put in that ceiling or can't put on that ceiling, you know, it'll kind of change what we do.
Well, Rick, obviously that, you know, all that's is a product of, you know, this great basketball program that we've got. And you know, let me ask you, a lot of fans are asking about, is there a possibility of a Midnight Madness this fall? Is that something that possibly on the radar?
Well, you know, I again, our coaches got in late. They've been on the road for the most part. They're really, this is the first kind of week they've all been in together. to kind of spend some time. You know, they've been there for a day or so at a time, but we're sitting down talking about schedules and how they want to do things, how they want to open the season. You know, a lot of people have, as you may or may not notice, have moved away actually from Midnight Madness. You know, the Midnight Madness was created because the rule was that you couldn't start until, you know, a particular day after midnight. Hence, some people started at 12:01. Well, that rule's been changed now where people can start at 7 o'clock on the day before. So you may very well see an activity to introduce the team, to, you know, let some fans get involved, students get involved. But just exactly what time that might be, I would say we're probably still, you know, probably still a month away from making that decision.
RV, when are we looking at, when do you think we'll have a basketball schedule out?
We're tying up the very loose ends. I think we have one game left to put into place, and we're waiting for an answer on that. They weren't left with they were left with some games, but you know, they were the normal old games that we had, and so they're trying to tweak that a little bit and trying to find a couple of games. I do know that we'll probably we will play 15 games at home, which is good. You know, the conference has gone to everybody plays everybody twice schedule this year. You know, so you'll see everybody in the conference at our place. That's probably for the first time since we've been in the league. And you know, the schedule will continue to get better, and hopefully that will be something we can release here in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, Rick, I can't let you go because there's always a few people in the room that have to ask, and they are dying to know where are we at with baseball. I know that's part of the whole capital deal, but you know, that's part of your plan of things to do in the future here. But
it kind of feels like Rick's Santa Claus, and we're sitting on his knee right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. It always seems like that.
I'll tell you that we made it very clear baseball is part of our deal. In our campaign, we've set up three completely separate, you know, we asked Dan Smith to be our chairman of our capital campaign committee. We actually set up three additional campaign committees beneath those for the facilities we talked about. We'll have a meeting on basketball next week, and I think there'll be some exciting announcements made and some things done about the progress of that project so far. As far as baseball's concerned, Don and Dylan Lovelace, two of our donors who've been with us for a while already, are big baseball fans, and they have agreed to chair the baseball committee. They have a great baseball background. They are connected to so many major leaguers and general managers and know the game so well. They are people that are great to be out front for this. They have a connection to several people who can make commitments to this project. And so you will see that move. My hope is to get this basketball practice facility because it is so critical. You know, I don't think that people realize, you know, there's days where we have to move practice from the PEB where we practice for an hour, and then right in the middle of practice our kids have to leave and go practice over at the Bonson Gym. So getting this basketball facility out of the way is extremely important. Baseball, it's our goal in the next month and a half to take some trips, look at some baseball stadiums that are along the lines of what we're looking at, to sit down and get some cost models from those stadiums to say, here's what we think it's going to be. They have made lists of people and companies they feel like would be also interested in this project. And our goal would be to, you know, to really start pushing hard on this in October. You know, we're going to approach this a little differently than the other facilities that we've built because that part of the process of building this baseball stadium will actually be pre-selling season tickets at the same time. You know, getting people to commit to two season baseball tickets and maybe make a gift to the stadium. So we're going to give a lot of people an opportunity to get involved with baseball, although there will be an executive committee of that will be responsible for helping bring in a large part of that. You know, so I'll be working real closely with them, as I have with Ernie and basketball, to get these dollars procured and set up a timetable. But baseball is definitely on our capital campaign list. It is definitely has a committee that is working, and you know, it's our goal as we move forward into the next year to push it in and get into Conference USA in the basketball rotation as quickly as possible. You know, I think it's important to point out that, you know, with everything that we do, I know that we don't do everything right, and I've been around a lot of departments and around a lot of programs in my life, and nobody does. But I think the one thing we got to know is that if baseball is going to be successful here, and basketball is going to be successful here, and football is going to be successful here, and all of our other sports, you know, people have to be patient. People have to understand that everything's not going to be done the way exactly that they want it, that things are going to, you know, things will have to change from seeding to priority to any other number of things that happen in programs that if that's who they really want to be, and that's who I intend to be. I mean, I don't really want to be in the last pack. I'd like to be up there, you know, making my way from the middle closer to the top. That we've got to support these things. And something you don't agree with, I understand. People are upset about the schedule this year. I get that. You know, I get it. I've said that. But it doesn't mean you just drop and don't get involved. You know, we got to continue to move the program forward and continue to support the program if we're going to get all these things done.
Without a doubt, RV, and we do appreciate the time. We know there's been a lot of great things happening the past couple of years, you know, and you know, when you look at the future games, future schedules, the future of football, the future of basketball, and all the other sports in our Texas, you can't help but notice how great things are happening here while a lot of other schools are suffering, you know, with their play.
And I'll tell you that, you know, the last part of that puzzle is just look around the coaching staffs. I mean, if you really want to measure how far we have come. I had a lunch with a donor today who made a $50,000 gift to the basketball practice facility. And part of our conversation there was that, you know, I'm not sure that I could, the donor said, I'm not sure I could have ever imagined that we would be at this point right now. He said, I could have never imagined in 10 years that we would be sitting here today talking about a basketball practice facility after we finish the new football stadium and the other facilities, and sitting here with a lineup of coaches that if you put them side by side, I'm not sure we've ever had a better collection, or that a lot of schools have had a better collection of coaches in their respective sports. You know, so I think we're poised to do great things. Regardless, everybody's going to have their detractors, but I feel really good about what we've accomplished over the last 11 years, and I'm only more confident that with this new facility coming on board and baseball being just down the road, that it's going to only get bigger and better, and it's time for, you know, everybody to get on board and support.
All right, Rick. Well, you know what? We really appreciate the time. As always, you've always been very accessible to us and the fans in general. You're always ready to shake hands and talk about the program, and we all appreciate that. So thanks for the time. I know you're busy a couple of weeks here before that first game. So thanks for spending the time with us, and have a good one.
Hey, we hope to see some of you in Baton Rouge. And if not, you know, make sure you're there for, you know, the game on September the 8th with Texas Southern. They'll bring a great band, of course. Ours is great, and our football team should do a great job that day, and we look forward to seeing everybody out there.
Hey, Rick, we'll see you this Saturday at the cookout event.
That's right, 6 to 8.
We have a cookout event, and those of you that have not made reservations to come, we'd love to have you. Just again, another opportunity to be in the stadium. We will allow fans to go down and take pictures around Spirit Key and, marking in the center of the field and those kind of things. So,
and the high is supposed to be like,
if you have any plans, go ahead and come. If you are coming, make sure you bring your camera, and look forward to having all of our Mean Green fans out there.
And the weather is supposed to be spectacular Saturday as far as temperature-wise.
It's going to be about 90 degrees, so it's about as good a day as we can get.
That's exactly right. All right, Rick, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Guy, and okay. Just say hi to all the Mean Green Nation. Appreciate all of you.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, that was RV, the Rick Villarreal, the athletic director for the University of North Texas. And
that was pretty good stuff.
It is good stuff. It's always good to talk to him. You know, usually we go up there during an afternoon and we sit in his office there and discuss. And the good thing is the best part of that is before and after the podcast, mm-hmm. you know, because we talk about everything and then we just get on the record with everything. But it's always good to have him on here. And for those of you, I know some people have issues with RV, but let me just tell you, if you've been around this program for any length, there's nobody has done more for this program more than Rick has as a leader. And you know what? The way the economy is and the way the teams have gone, you know, can you say he bowls, you know, a 300 every time? No. I mean, there's always going to be problems. But where we are now compared to where we were 10, 12 years ago, we are light years ahead, and we are positioned. Conference USA with schools we had always wanted to be positioned with. So could you ask for anything more at this point?
And part of it is the Conference USA thing doesn't go into effect for a year. So people are kind of, you know what I mean? There was that initial excitement when it was announced, but you don't really get the bang from that until next year.
I know. You got a full year to tape your ankles. And, you know, all the stars are aligning because we've got, you know, SMU on the schedule. So, I mean, we got some great teams we're playing. You know, it's just a great. Everybody wants to see these games. You know, the students are going to get fired up. And let's be honest here, you know, we've got a lot of fans from over the years, and we follow them on Going Green, and we've known a lot of these guys, and they're just sporadic throughout. But you know, there's a large group, and there's a lot in this chat room right now that were fans during the Dickey Bowl years, and they remember that. So you got that spike because of the mm-hmm. winning. And then it kind of goes down a little bit, but you got that spike because, and those guys know. So when, you know, these things start taking off, the fans start getting into it in Conference USA, it's just going to help grow the program, grow the fan base, and get more people involved.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. We need to give Brett a call. He has an early bedtime, so.
Okay. I like Mean Mag here. He says, I'm here because of Dickey. You know, and that's one thing. I've always said Daryl needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Scott Hall needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's another one. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, yeah. All right. So let's call Vito and there it is. We're going to go ahead and pause the broadcast here, guys. So if you need to use the restroom, we're going to get Vito on here. If you got any questions for Brett, because, you know, here's the thing. You guys need to listen up because we talked about this. There's a lot of names on this team nobody knows, and nobody's more in tune to the program than Vito. And I guarantee you that he is more in tune than some of those people at the athletic department. No, that's not a shot, but I mean, you know, that's all he does.
They do a good job.
He does a good job on that. And he tells it like it is. So we're going to go ahead and pause and get him on. Did you pause?
I just turned off the audio.
Okay. So let me pause the. All right. Once again, we are lucky to have the beat writer for University of North Texas for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me again, guys.
Brett, you know, we discussed this. We've brought it up several times already in this podcast, but this is a team that has a few names that everybody knows, but very few compared to previous seasons. So, you know, give us your feel on what you're seeing this team. You know, what's going on so far and what we can expect for the first game against LSU?
I mean, that's the interesting thing is this year, well, the last couple of years they've closed practice, so it's a lot harder to kind of gauge what how the team's looking, who's looking good, you know, who maybe is falling off a little bit. You kind of have to just go on what the coaches will tell you, and some of them are more forthcoming than others. You know, some of them will flat out tell you, you know, hey, this person we really think is coming on, this person really hasn't done very well. And, you know, so it's a little bit harder to tell what's going on this year. But, I mean, some of the stuff that we've heard, it's pretty apparent that they're very high on Antoine Jimerson. He's really done well. There's some other – I'm trying to think. Jimerson's done well. The offensive line has done well. They really like McCracy and his tackle. You know, he's facing noise there. So I think there's a lot of different guys that maybe we're seeing come on and maybe we'll take on a larger role this year. But I think we're going to have to go – to a certain extent, wait until the first couple of games of the season to see how it all plays out.
Carlos Harris is a name that keeps coming up. Brett, that's the youngster, I guess he's from Frisco.
He's a wide receiver from Frisco. He was a running back in high school, and they do like him a lot. And that's one area I'm kind of intrigued by is the is the wide receiver core, because you do have those three guys that are coming back who are all fairly good players. I think Breland Chancellor is by far the best. You know, you still have, yeah, Chris Bynes, and you still have Ivan Delgado there, and they feel good about those guys, but, I mean, who else are you going to run out there? I mean, that's the big question, because you're not just going to play three guys all year, and the chances of one of those guys getting nicked up is pretty good. You're going to have to run somebody else out there, and it just doesn't seem like there's any likely candidates. There's other three backups, they only have one catch last year at all. And everybody thought Chaz Sampson was going to be the guy that was going to really come on. And, you know, now the talk is that maybe he's not progressing the way that they hoped he would.
So, Brett, now that the Hunting Badgers left LSU, are you going to change your prediction for the season?
I don't think that's going to cause me to change my prediction on the season much. It's kind of funny. I was on with a Baton Rouge radio station the other day, and they were asking a little bit about how it changed the dynamic of the game. And, you know, it's not like it's going to hurt North Texas. That's for sure. I mean, that guy's a dynamic player, but schools like that, they have those guys just stacked up back to back to back to back.
Right. Okay, Brett, talk a little bit about this schedule. You have your annual pick'em deal, and I think you put them at. Did you go with 6 wins?
Yeah, I went homer and went 6-6. I went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth on that, and finally I ended up doing what I really never do, and that's picking somebody to win every single winnable game on the schedule. You know, and that's basically what it comes down to. And it's interesting to see the thinking among North Texas fans. That's one thing that I always find intriguing. Because when you go and call for everybody to, you know, to make their season picks, you know, a lot of times people will go game by game, or they'll justify what their picks are. And that's great. And that's kind of what we're looking for. But what I'm getting from a lot of people and what a lot of people are saying is, okay, well, Texas Southern, they count up all the wins that they think are automatic wins, Texas Southern, Florida Atlantic, South Alabama, Louisiana Monroe, and schools like that. And they say, okay, well, and outside of those, and I probably missed a couple, but outside of those, I think the North Texas will pick up either – you know, one of Houston, Louisiana, Lafayette, and Arkansas State. You know, I can see that line of thinking, but I guarantee you everybody in places like Louisiana, in Monroe, are looking at it and saying, you know, we were right in the game with North Texas. We've got everybody back, and North Texas lost a bunch of its key players. You know, I'm sure that a lot of people are looking at North Texas and thinking, man, that's a game we could probably pick up to get a little bit closer to being bowl eligible. So I guess it works both ways.
So, Brett, so you're feeling, I mean, usually you're pretty conservative on there. I mean, how much of your feeling of the record has to do with last year's, you know, intangibles, you know, the coaching, the attitude, you know, there's a lot of things that last year we were pleasantly surprised to see it at a team we didn't expect a whole lot out of.
Yeah, you know, I was fairly – I forget what I picked last year. I think I was within a game or two. You know, they ended up winning 5 games, and I think I picked them to win 4. You know, and I think those things – there's value in that. I think there's – especially when you're coming from the Dodger, because they went from the absolute worst in terms of enthusiasm and everybody being on board and – you know, everybody having their act together to, you know, they were totally off the rails to being, you know, I think McCartney is just tremendous in that regard. And usually I don't put a whole lot of stock into that kind of thing. You know, once you get to college ball, I don't think it's a whole heck of a lot about your coaches being terrific with game plans or terrific with in-game adjustments or things like that. Because I just think there's more often than not, there's just a talent disparity there that plays a bigger role in it than anything. It's not like the NFL. And I know a lot of people don't agree with me on that. I think coaching matters a lot, but I think it matters a lot more as far as how good those coaches are about getting the talent to campus and keeping those kids on the field and on the bus and motivated and things like that.
So, Brett, I know
but
you're...
I think Carney made a difference in that regard, for sure.
So, Brett, I know you're in tune with a lot of the writers from a lot of the newspapers around the Sun Belt. Let me ask you, is everybody gunning for us? Are they all looking to give us a good kiss goodnight because we're moving on to better, bigger and better things and they're left, you know, holding the flowers?
Yeah, you know, that's something that we're going to address in our big football magazine and stuff like that. And,
it was a tease, yeah.
You know, I asked a lot of the veteran coaches in the league, and I asked some of the guys that are a little new to the league, and I asked some of the players there. And I tell you what, I mean, I did get a couple of honest, yeah, I think everybody's going to be gunning for those teams that are leaving answers. And I got a lot of the, you know, some of the coaches that have been around for a long time. And I have no doubt that they're completely honest in their feeling that, no, I don't think everybody's going to be gunning for North Texas. I think it's just going to be another game. But you know that when it gets to those Saturdays, that's going to be brought up and they're going to use it as a motivational ploy. You know, if a coach thinks he's got any hope, he's going to use anything he can think of for a motivational ploy. And I'm sure that's going to be trotted out there every week of the season. Now, whether that makes a whole lot of difference, I'm not sure it really makes a huge difference. But I definitely think that North Texas is going to have a target on its back throughout the season.
Okay, Brett, so RV was on before you had a lot of good information to share. Looks like a practice facility for basketball by December. Baseball committees formed. I mean, you've been around the program for a while now. You've been around the block a while here, Brett. I mean, is this really kind of the golden era for North Texas if you think about kind of where we've been to where we are right now in terms of all the facilities and all the coaching changes and everything? You know, Benford looks like he's a real solid hire, getting some good recruits. Mac, you know, had the 5 wins last season, turning things around. I mean, is this a pretty optimistic time for you to be a North Texas fan?
I think if you're looking at it as an all-encompassing thing, yeah. I mean, across the board, for sure. I mean, you've got a new football stadium. You've got a basketball program that's, you know, that Johnny put on the national map, and they made a good hire when he got his dream job. I mean, you've got – and you've got some coaches that have got some skins on the wall that you brought in, Mike Peterson, who's done some good things elsewhere. You've got some quality kids in a lot of different programs. So, I think it definitely is. I think a lot of people get kind of zeroed in just on the football thing, whether you're winning or losing in general. But I think when you look at it from a wider perspective, I think they've definitely – got everything going in the right direction, especially with moves and conferences. I mean, that was the real big thing there, just getting into a different league. Now, has there been better times as far as the football program, as far as wins and losses go? I don't think there's any question. I mean, they went to, you know, 4 bowl games in 4 years and won one of them and had 2 national rushing champions. And, I mean, North Texas is on the cover of USA Today. North Texas is really in the national spotlight back then as far as its football program goes, but I think that's kind of a narrow focus. I think when you look at the overall picture, yeah, I think you're really in a really positive time for North Texas athletics. And the question is, you know, just do they finally, get back to where they were in the golden years where they were, you know, winning every year and going to bowl games and, you know, despite the overall conference record, they did win some big games in there against Baylor and Cincinnati and things like that in the bowl. So I think that's the one last missing ingredient there.
I thought you touched on a really good point that Mac made at the media press conference in terms of pointing out that when in the glory years or glory days, whatever, that North Texas went, was it like 2-16 in non-conference? Even though you had the 4 bowl games, as a fan, I appreciated the honesty because thinking back to that time, that was the big criticism of that era was that we could not win a non-conference game. But as a fan, I felt like I need to protect that memory. You know, I mean, you know, you were there for those New Orleans games. I mean, I know I had lunch with you, and the fans had a great time, and it was a great run. And as a fan, you're kind of torn because, you know, Coach Mack's kind of taking a little bit of a shot at that, but it's a legitimate one. Any additional thoughts on that issue?
I don't know. I think my thoughts and opinions on it are pretty well known. I mean, I completely understand where Coach Mack is coming from, and I completely understand the sentiment among North Texas fans that, hey, this was not the end-all be-all of what you want to be as a program, and that's the right attitude to take. But my point is North Texas anywhere close to where it is now as a program if that run didn't happen? I don't think so. I don't think there's a chance in hell that North Texas is where it is now if those games don't win. I think North Texas has got an AD and Rick Villarreal that's done a tremendous job in a lot of different ways and done a lot of different things. But even he'll tell you, you know, yeah, those years did help a lot in terms of getting things moving in the right direction. And there were some great wins in there. The win over Cincinnati in the bowl game. The win over Baylor at home in 2003. You know, there were some times in there where they did win some big games, and there weren't a whole heck of a lot of opportunities there. Were there some? Yeah. Were there some games they should have won? Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there was also there were times you were playing Oklahoma and Arkansas. You're playing, you know, Texas. You're playing, you know, teams like that. It just makes it awfully hard to look back and say, well, you know, this was the record in this time. I think you got to put it into the context of who they played, what did they have available in terms of what the program had to work with at that point. You're not talking about North Texas now where you got this fantastic stadium, you got this athletic center, you've got the money that from the student fees and things like that. I mean, they did not have the things to work with that they do now. And I think that changes the way you have to look at that era. And that's the way I've always looked at it. And that's the way I look at some of those players back then, you know, like Scott Hall, who ought to be in the North Texas Hall of Fame.
We just said that. We just made that point. That's Scott Hall should be in the Hall of Fame this year. And if he's not, I'm going to start a letter writing campaign or something.
Daryl Dickey,
you know, honestly, and it's not going to happen, but Daryl Dickey deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's, you know,
talk about how many bowl games has North Texas been to in its history? And how many of them happened in that run? You know, yeah. I just have a hard time looking at it and saying, oh yeah, you know, we'll just completely discount an entire era and four bowl wins and all the things that those players did because we didn't like their non-conference record and we didn't think that they were playing in a great league. Well, you know, you can go back and you can close your eyes and dream and think and wish all you want, but it still doesn't change the fact that North Texas has been in Division I since 95 and has had exactly, what, three winning seasons, four bowl games, and four conference titles? They're all in that one run with those same batch of guys.
I know.
You know, you can dream and wish and hope and want North Texas to be whatever it is or is going to be, but it isn't going to change the fact that that's what it was back then, and that was a big part of the reason why they got to where they're going now. You know, I just don't think they get there if they don't.
All right, Brad.
Everybody forgets, like, Scott Hall threw four touchdown passes to beat Middle Tennessee and Murfreesboro in 03. You know, games like that really made the difference and helped things get going. There were times when those guys did a terrific job.
All right, Rick. I mean, Rick. Sorry, Brett. Sorry, I was looking at Rick's name on it. Brett, we appreciate the time as usual. And we only got a couple more weeks. When does that big spread come out for the preseason?
Oh, it comes out right before 0 week. I start to forget these things. Yeah, I'm not doing a whole lot of sleep in these days, but you know, it comes out right right before that first week of the high school football season. We're going up this year, so it's going to be. We went from 84. We added another. I think it's going to be. Yeah, it's going to be 92 pages this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's something we take a lot of pride in. We've won national awards for, I think, like 7 of the last 8 years in the last 4 years in a row. And we really put a lot of time and effort into it. You know, a lot of the guys in the office spend a ton of time on it. And we do get a lot of really good feedback on it. And we really hope that this year will be another one that people will really enjoy. But that's really where our time and our focus is at the moment. So.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks for keeping us updated. I know everybody will be looking for that. And for the fans that are new or haven't never caught one of those before, make sure you pick one of those up. It's a great way to get your ankles, tapes, snot bubbles, big eyes for the season. And there's a lot of good info in there. So, Brett, we will continue to read your information on the Mean Green blog that you have there on the website. You can always find the link on the front page from the Go Mean Green, or you can go to the DRC and find Brett's work there. Brett, we will talk to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. You guys have a good night.
Okay, you too. Take care.
All right, so, Brett, I'm locked up in our private conversation here. I can't get out. I don't know what's going on. So, guys, I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. It was great to have RV. You know, he's very accessible. Thanks for Brett Vito joining us. He always gives us great information, and he definitely knows what's going on with the program. So, kudos to those guys, and we appreciate it. Harry, what else you got?
Well, I mean... we're getting close. You called me the other day, and I know it's almost the opening of the season when Evan starts getting, you know, really pumped up about.
Well, I am, and I just found out that I will be going to the Middle Tennessee game. Never been to that
Murfreesboro.
So if anybody else is going to that game, there will be a group of us going. So I'd like to hang up with everybody.
And
there.
We're all doing Houston, so let's.
Yeah, well, I'll be at Houston, and if for those of you that will be there this Saturday night, we will see you there. Harry and I will be there also, be there together, but not as a couple. we'll be there, so come up, we'll say hi, and we'll chat a bit.
We are exactly 16 days and 7 hours and 32 minutes, appears, from the countdown clock to the Tigers of LSU. It'll be here before you know it.
ESPNU for me, baby. All right, with that, go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.